podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this, a new teaching, and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Heavenly Father, take your word this morning, apply it to our hearts. Father, may we understand a little bit more about our Savior Jesus Christ, about the power that he has, about the compassion that he has for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a story about a man who went to a faith healer, and he came up front and he said to the faith healer, "I need prayer for my hearing." And so the faith healer grabbed both sides of the man's head and began to shake his head back and forth and bounce his head around from one ear to the other, just trying to bounce the demons out of his head and out of his ears. And finally, he was done with this. And after about 3 minutes, the faith healer looked at the man and he said, "How's your hearing now, young man?" The man looked up and said, "My hearing is next Tuesday." Anyhow, not all healing works out the way we expected it to work out. I'm not sure how many people came to Jesus to be healed. And I'm not sure exactly how many people Jesus healed over the course of his ministry here on earth. But we know that he never failed in his healing ministry. We know this as we go through the gospel. There were four who were paralyzed that Jesus healed. There were two who had leprosy. There was one who was deaf. There were three who were blind. There was one who had epilepsy. There was one who Jesus just reached out and replaced his ear that had been cut off. There was one with a fever, one with dropsy, one with some undisclosed sickness, another one with a hemorrhage. And then there are all sorts of summary statements throughout Scripture about many who were healed, like we find here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 34, where it says, Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. So throughout the Gospels, we have these statements about Jesus healing many. So because of that, we don't know the exact number that Jesus healed. Certainly, there were many sick people throughout the land of Israel during the time when Jesus ministered, and Jesus did not have the opportunity to see all of them. In fact, I would venture to say that there were crowds of people that were ill who came to follow Jesus to see him so that they could be healed, and some of them never got to see Jesus. He wasn't able to physically heal everyone who was sick. You know, some people fixate on the physical healing aspect of Jesus' ministry. And they believe that maybe this is why Jesus came. For us to be physically healed of our illnesses and our diseases. Even in our day, we're fixated on this. As if the whole point of Jesus coming was to make us well physically. But judging by our prayer list this morning, if that's what Jesus does for us, then we're doing something wrong, aren't we? Because we're not all healed. I hear people sniffling and coughing this morning, even. The allergy season is starting, right? There are some in our congregation who are battling terrible illnesses. Some who are fighting cancers. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just heal them? I mean, isn't that why Jesus came? Well, that's what some people believe. That if we're not healed of our illnesses, it must be because we don't have enough faith or we don't really know Jesus very well. There must be a deeper purpose for the healing ministry of Jesus than just to heal everyone who's sick. Let's see if there are any clues in our text this morning. As we look at our text this morning, as we read it together, I hope you saw a couple things. The first thing is that the healing miracles of Jesus establish his messiahship, that he is our Savior. The fact that he came and was able to heal demonstrated his identity. That while the people Jesus came to save were trying to discover who Jesus was, they were wondering and pondering, who could this guy be? And they were following him and listening to his teaching, and they were amazed, as we saw, by the authority of his teaching. They were all had these questions about, who is this man? While that was taking place, there were some who knew exactly who Jesus was. Did you catch that in the text this morning? Some knew exactly who Jesus was. Just turns out that the ones who knew who he was were the demons. The demons. Verse 23 of Mark chapter 1. Jesus, just then, this man in the synagogue, possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are," the demon says. "You are the Holy One of God." The demon had an idea about who Jesus was. And in verse 34, Jesus tells the demons not to speak out because they knew who he was. And he wasn't quite ready for all of that information to be disclosed to the people that he was ministering to. He wanted to demonstrate this to them one step at a time, for them to learn it for themselves, discover it for themselves, not to hear it from the mouth of a demon. So the demons knew who Jesus was. He was the Holy One, sent from God, the one who is set apart, the one who is pure, the special one whom God has sent into this world. And the demons recognized who he was, and not only that, they were threatened by the existence of Jesus in their midst. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." The truth from the Word of God is that the demons know who God is. They know who Jesus is. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, they don't trust in him in a saving way. Only we as human beings have that opportunity. But they believe who he is and they understand his authority, and they're threatened by him. So the Old Testament predicted that the Messiah would come into this world possessing the power to heal and to cast demons away. We read in Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 4, "Surely," speaking of the coming Messiah, "he took up our infirmities, he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted." It was predicted in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come, the Holy One from God would come, and he would take up our infirmities, that he would be a healer. And so we come to Matthew chapter 8, and in that story, we read that when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word. He healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. So Matthew admits that what Jesus was doing here in this world was he was demonstrating that he was the Messiah that was predicted in the Old Testament. And so he was able to heal people and cast out demons just as it said he would be able to do in the Old Testament. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. So why were the demons threatened by him? Because they understood his authority. They understood the power that he had. So the healing miracles of Jesus establish his messiahship, but also they establish his might, that he is Lord, that he is the authority, that he's in control, that he is sovereign. Look at verse 22. As Jesus was teaching, the people were amazed because he taught them as one who had authority. They recognized, even as he spoke, the power in his words. But there was more to it than just the power in his words. We read in verse 27, the people were all amazed and they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and even the evil spirits obey him. So Jesus has the authority to cast out demons. He has the authority to heal various diseases. And every time he healed a disease, he demonstrated that he was the one who was in charge in this world. It's something that we as human beings all feel powerless about. We feel powerless over our bodies and the diseases. Now, we do the best that we can to prevent them. We do the best that we can to work out and to take vitamins and to watch Dr. Oz and take his latest pills and whatever else. And we do all of these things in order to prevent disease. And then once we get the disease, we listen to all of the advice. We go to see the doctor. We do whatever we can to try and get rid of that disease. Sometimes we have to have surgery in order to have the disease removed from us. We do anything we can. We are obsessed with getting rid of the illness. And we live in amazing times when doctors and medicine have come a long way. And some of the illnesses and diseases that would have killed people 20 years ago are curable today. Some of them easily curable. We praise God for that. However, during the time when Jesus was here, there was a stigma attached to many of these diseases. The people who lived during those days felt that if you had a disease, a sickness, or if you were born blind or deaf, it was because of your sin. So they connected the sin and the disease, whether that is right or whether that is wrong. And in some cases, there were demons who came along with the disease. Whether that is right or whether that is wrong, what we understand is that Jesus came to combat that and to say, look, I'm going to show you who is in charge in this world. I'm going to show you that I am the Creator, that I can heal these diseases because I am the Lord. So he had the power to immediately heal the human body, not like a doctor, not like medicine. His authority was immediate and it was decisive. And not once during his healing ministry did he fail. Not once was he embarrassed. Not once did someone return to him to complain. You know, Jesus, I was blind and then I saw and, you know, 3 days later, I'm blind again. You got to help me out, Jesus. But we do know something is true of the people that Jesus healed is that eventually they died. Even the ones that Jesus healed and was able to raise them from the dead, they died at one time or another too. So Jesus was able to demonstrate his authority, his power over our physical ailments, even over death. And what demons understood, it took people a lot longer to get. And so he had to go from village to village to village to village, casting out demons and healing people. People gathered, crowds watched, sick people came, and they wondered, who is this guy? Is he a magician? Some people said he was healing by the power of Satan. Some said he was some sort of a fancy faith healer. But there was more to it than that. What Jesus was demonstrating was that he was the Lord. He was the Creator. He had power over demons. He had power over disease. He had power over deformities that people were born with. And besides his identity as the Messiah and the Lord, also the healing miracles of Jesus establish his mercy. They demonstrate to us that he cares, that he has compassion for those who are hurting and those who are suffering. The fact that he took the time to stop and to touch the lives of those individual people who had physical and emotional needs proves that he cares and that he has compassion on everyone who suffers. Here's a couple of instances. Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, we read, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Do you see how the compassion is followed up by the healing? So the fact that he was willing to stop and to heal these individual blind people demonstrates to us his love, his care for them. We also read in Mark chapter 1, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Now, in Jesus' day, you don't just go around touching lepers. Because, first of all, it's contagious, it might spread. Second of all, they were unclean according to the Old Testament law, and to touch them would have consequences on you personally. But Jesus was willing to reach out and physically touch this man with leprosy in order to heal him. It demonstrates to us the compassion of Jesus. He proved it. He proved the mercy of his heart by reaching out with his healing touch to the outcasts and to the sinners and to those who were desperately hurting. There's a question that comes to mind here as we look at this, and that is that we are the children of God. We are the body of Christ. We are his people, his sons and daughters, that he has saved and transformed. And we are given his authority. We are given his power. Here's a question. What are we doing for the outcasts of this world? What are we doing for the people that are suffering and hurting? For the people who are desperately ill? How are we reaching out with mercy and compassion to those who have needs? Are we like our Master Jesus, willing to stop and to attend and to minister and to touch those who are suffering? Or do we have a tendency to back away? Do we have a tendency to nod our heads and to say, oh, those poor folks, I feel so bad for them. We should pray for them. Or are we willing to get involved like Jesus did, to touch those who are hurting? Now, you and I may not be able to go and heal them. You know, as much as we would love to go to Hoover and Francis's house and just touch Hoover and say, get up out of that bed, Hoover, and to see him fully restored, what a miracle that would be. As much as we would love to be able to do that, we understand that we haven't been given that authority and that power. However, God has given us plenty of authority. Authority to pray, authority to care, authority to be transportation, like Clint said, to be hands and feet, to provide meals, to visit, to be encouragers, to send a card. God's given us the authority to reach out and to touch in so many ways. And not just in that situation, but in a plethora of situations. Some right here under our noses, others that are out there that we're hearing about each and every day of our lives. Are we willing, like Jesus, to take the time to stop and to show that we care because he cares? Well, the healing miracles of Jesus, they establish that he is the Messiah, that he is the Lord, that he has mercy, but also they established his mission, the mission of Jesus. Every time that Jesus performed a miracle, he was leading people into this clue about who he was. He was gently, slowly unfolding for them what his plan was and why he was here. He was here in order to restore what was broken. Jesus restores. He restores sight to the blind. He restores mobility to those who were lame. He restored hearing to the deaf. He restored an ear on a servant. He restored life to Lazarus and to two others. All of these healings were temporary. They were temporary. In this earth life, but Jesus came to demonstrate that he was about restoration and about salvation and about helping people who were broken in this world to put it back together again and to live once again, to be restored and to restore. We get involved in this type of ministry from time to time. For example, when there's a hurricane and we hear about the hurricane or a tornado or damage that's been done somewhere, in our country, we might get together a group of people, some supplies, some money. We might go to that place and help out. We've done this from time to time. We take the opportunity to do that. And many of the times it's just about fixing a house, just, you know, getting the sludge out of the home, the dirt, the filth, rebuilding so that the person can move back into that house and their home is restored. But what about the broken people around us? Because these are also the ones that Jesus came to restore. The broken families. This is what Jesus does. He restores. And you are the body of Christ. And we are called to be restorers as well. Sometimes it just means bringing people to Jesus. We saw that in a story just last time we met together, that these men brought their friend who was lame and they sent him down through the roof so that Jesus could heal them. Sometimes that's all it is bringing people to Jesus. But sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes we have to get our hands dirty. Sometimes we have to enter into the pain and suffering of other people's lives, into their brokenness, to help them, to restore them. It can only be done through Jesus. Not only the mission of Jesus was communicated through his healing ministry, but also his message. The message that he is the King. He is the King. Look at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, I think if you look at what happened the day before with the healing of the demon, the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and then also all these people being brought to Jesus, sick and demon-possessed, and he's healing them, that he's exhausted. But yet he wakes up early in the morning, and he goes off into the solitary place, and he's praying, and he's realigning himself with the will of the Father. And here comes Peter and the rest of the disciples, and they're looking for Jesus. And they say, "Jesus, everyone's looking for you. There's all these people with needs. Don't you know there's people that are suffering and hurting? There's sick people. There's demon-possessed people. There's a lot of work to be done here, Jesus. You can't just come into town, set up a clinic, and then disappear. You got to come back." But look what Jesus says. "Let's go somewhere else." You know, there are other villages. Now, why would Jesus leave the sick people of this village to go to another village? Why not set up shop in this village and let people come to him? The word's going to get out. You know, when you've got someone who can heal diseases, the word gets out. But Jesus says, no. I've been here long enough. We need to go to the next village. He says, why? So I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So Jesus says, the reason I came was not for the healing of the diseases and the casting out of demons, although that's all great. It's all important. It's all communicating a message. What's important is that I get the message out, that I preach what God has sent me here to preach, that the good news goes out to others. There's more to it than just the social part of his ministry. There's also the message. There's the word, and it has to go out. Now you remember what the message of Jesus was all about? We see that back in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And here's the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This was the message of Jesus. The kingdom of God is here. And you must repent and believe and become a part of this kingdom. So you might remember a few weeks back, we looked at this picture, how the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth are separate from one another. And then when Jesus came, his message of the good news was this: look, I have brought the kingdom of heaven here to earth. The kingdom of heaven is now here in the person of Jesus Christ, the King who has brought it. So what would we expect? What happens when the kingdom of God invades the kingdom of man? What kind of differences would we expect when the kingdom of heaven is here on earth in the kingdom of man? Well, we might expect to see that some things that would only be true of God would show up that hadn't been here before. For example, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, if you keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. But I am the Lord who heals you. Here in Exodus, God gives himself a name. He says, I am the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals. He said, I am the Lord who heals. So this is the name, Jehovah Rophi, that God gave to himself during the time of the Exodus. And then what would we expect when the kingdom of God intersects with the kingdom of man? If God is a healer and God is here in our world, active and moving, we would expect healing. And so Jesus did not disappoint. He brought healing and restoration. He brought physical healing, which is good. The physical healing is good, but it's temporary. And he brought spiritual healing. Spiritual healing, which is better because it's eternal. And so the physical healing was in order to demonstrate the message that he was preaching, that he is king and he's brought the kingdom here, to prove that he is the king, but now to bring spiritual healing as well. And so when Jesus died on the cross, not only does he heal physical disease, he heals our spiritual disease, which is sin, which is a disease that can affect us for all eternity. That all who put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation are forgiven of their sin, and that disease is removed from them completely. We might ask the question then, what about the body of Christ? What type of healing can we do? You know, we're the people of God. Shouldn't we be able to heal like Jesus healed? Well, let's talk the Apostle Paul. What's wrong with Paul? Why can't Paul heal? Look at some of these verses. Galatians chapter 4. Paul said, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. When he came to Galatia, he was sick. He tells him, when I came to preach to you, I was sick. What was wrong with him? Well, you know, why couldn't he heal himself? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And then he says, I pleaded with the Lord three times, take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. What was Paul saying? He was saying, look, I am sick. I have an illness, something that I call the thorn in the flesh that keeps from me from being what I feel I should be. But God uses me anyway. Why don't you heal yourself, Paul? Look at Philippians chapter 2. I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who's also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. It looks like as we read this passage of Scripture that Epaphroditus was ill, he was sick, he almost died. But because of the mercy of God, he was healed. And it sounds to me like your normal, typical physical healing. Nothing supernatural. Why didn't Paul just heal him completely with a snap of his fingers like Jesus could? How about 1 Timothy chapter 5? Stop drinking water only, he says to Timothy. Use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. You know, why tell Timothy to take wine for his stomach? Now, why take medicine, Paul? Why don't you heal him completely? Just heal him like Jesus would have done. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. You know, as he's traveling from place to place, one of his associates, Trophimus, is sick. So he leaves him behind to be cared for. Why didn't Paul just heal him and bring him along? It brings up some questions. Can God heal? Well, yes, of course God can heal. God's the only one who can heal. God's the one who created these bodies with the capacity to heal. God is in charge of healing. That's what he does. Does he always heal? Physically? No. We've all experienced that. Sometimes he heals. Sometimes things get worse. Does he heal using our prayers? I mean, do our prayers matter? Does God heal? Yes, they do matter. God listens to our prayers, and sometimes he heals on the basis of our prayers. Does he always heal using our prayers? Not always. Sometimes we pray on our hands and our knees days and night, and the healing doesn't occur. Can God heal through a healer, a person who puts their hand on you and heals? Can God do that? Well, yeah, of course God can do that. He can. But is a healer God's usual means of healing people? No. In fact, I have never seen it in my lifetime. Maybe you have. Most of the stories I've heard have been anecdotal. I see it in Scripture, but I don't see it in everyday life. Most of the healing I see has to do with doctors and medicine and things like that, and prayers. And sometimes, every now and then, you hear about someone who mysteriously has an illness taken away, a cancer that disappears, something that was there on the x-ray that's gone, something that appeared on the MRI that suddenly it's not there anymore. I say, well, that's a miracle, that God does heal today. But we need to understand something. There was a purpose in the healing ministry of Jesus. It was not to prove what we should be doing today. The purpose of the healing ministry of Jesus was to demonstrate that he is the Messiah, that he is all-powerful, almighty God, that he is the compassionate, merciful God, and he cares for us, that his mission was to come to take what is broken and to restore it, as he demonstrated time and time again, and that his message is the kingdom of God is now here. And all of that was so much more important than all of the physical healings put together. There's a story of a faith healer who came to heal a blind man. A blind man came forward and said, look, I haven't seen anything in years, and I just need you to touch my eyes. And the faith healer touched his eyes, and suddenly the man saw, and he went out jumping up and down excited. I can see. Another man walked up and said, I'm deaf. I need you to heal me so that I can hear again. And Jesus put his hands on the man's, or the faith healer put his hands on the man's ears, healed him. The man suddenly could hear again. For the first time, he's jumping up and down. I can hear. Then Jesus walks up to another man. I'm sorry, the faith healer walks up to another man. And this man is sitting in a wheelchair. Jesus, the faith healer is about to touch him. And the man looks up and says, don't you dare touch me. I'm on workers' comp. And the moral of that story is not everyone wants to be healed. Not everyone wants to be healed. And this is probably more true in the spiritual realm than it is in the physical realm. Because there are many who are spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually crippled, and they don't know it, and they're happy with the way that the things are. Now, if you were to talk to them sincerely, deep down inside of them, they might tell you that, indeed, I am suffering and I'm hurting, and I really don't like this life. I'm really not happy. I'm really not satisfied. I really don't know what's going to happen to me if I get sick and if I die. I don't know where I'm going after this life. And really, I have no satisfaction in this world. If you were to get down to the details of life, you might understand that. However, most of them act as if they're perfectly happy, spiritually broken. But Jesus came to say, look, for me, this is easy. You know? The small work of physical healing was just a sign to demonstrate that he was capable of so much more. That he's capable of healing us for all eternity. Of taking our broken lives and putting them back together again. and putting us on the road to eternity. The difficult, impossible work of healing us spiritually is something that Jesus can do if we'll just come to him with faith to believe. So we are the people of God, called by him to be like Jesus in many ways, to be the restorers of those who are broken, to lead others to Jesus, to put their lives back together again. And the healing ministry of Jesus throughout his time here on earth just demonstrates who he is and what he's capable of. Do we believe? Do we believe? Are we willing to join him by touching those who are hurting and suffering and leading them to him to be restored? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that if we have come here today with an illness, be it a physical illness or a spiritual illness, be it a broken body or a broken heart, we know that we have a God who's in charge of those things. We know that we have a Savior who's done all he can do to fix those issues. So, Father, this is why we come on a day like this and lift up so many requests to you for those who are hurting, for those who are ill. But even more importantly, Lord, we need to bring before you those who are spiritually broken, those who need your forgiveness, those who need their lives put back together again. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who has come with a broken life, who needs the great physician to heal them for all eternity, Father, that that would be the most miraculous thing that could happen in their life today. Help us, Lord, as your people, to see the suffering of this world, the needs of this world, whether they be physical or spiritual, and to represent you well. Help us be those who reach out with care and compassion, the authority of God, the healing power that comes from our Savior. Help us, Father, to experience miracles in our world as you call us to step out by faith and touch those who are suffering. Thank you today for who you are, Jehovah Rophi, the God who heals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.